Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. Once again, it's all good, people. What's happening out there? This is Ryan Hodge, and of course, this is Level Up. Just want to say thanks for joining us again this week. We're here. We back. We got another topic to tackle like we always do. So listen, the topic of today is going to be co-parenting, problems with it, problems that occur, ways to be better with it, things to look out for. Basically anything related to co-parenting. And we're not talking about co-parenting like two parents in the same household either. We're actually talking about a situation where the child lives with one parent and doesn't live with the other one. The other one lives somewhere else. So we're talking about co-parenting. We're talking about the baby daddy, baby mama sort of situation. We're going to speak about the drama associated with it. So co-parenting again. Two parents, two different households, trying to come to a common accord, one accord, to help this student, child, loved one, whatever you want to call it, just be in a better place. And actually even the parents, hopefully at the end of this show, where they can come together and use some of the things we talk about on this show, and they can get right from that. So bang, that's what we're going to talk about, y'all. So we're going to take a quick break. Just wanted to introduce that to y'all. I'll be right back. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Stay tuned. So we back. I'm here. I'm back. I hope you still here. And if not, join in now. You know what I'm saying? Check the show out. So either way, if you're just joining us or you're coming back, we're going to be talking about co-parenting. That's parents who don't live together, but they share a common goal, hopefully, which is to raise the child the right way and put some things that's in place for the child's best interest. So we know that doesn't always go that way. Things just aren't always ideal for everyone or for the child or the parents. So before we go, we're going to do like we always do. We're going to talk about another definition for the show. So when we're talking about parenting, there's different types of parenting, and we're going to talk about one briefly just to give you a definition. So one of the types of parenting is something called high conflict co-parenting. Now, this right here is the type of parenting where emotions are often very high between the two parents, a lot of arguing, a lot of disgruntled behavior. What people would often call the toxic situation. I'm sure we've heard that word a lot in pop culture lately. So this is, like I said, a very highly emotional type of parenting, not in the best interest of anybody. And this, of course, with the name itself, high conflict. You don't want conflict with parenting. So this is the least favorable of all the different types of parenting, co-parenting styles, I should say. So we want to stay away from that. And one of the things we're going to talk about on this show is a way to hopefully stay away from it. So that's one type. And then there's another type of parenting. We might have heard this one before. This one is another one. It's called parallel co-parenting. As the name suggests, co-parenting, of course, both of the parents involved, like we're talking about, parallel things that do not intersect. Parallel lines don't cross one another. There's no commingling of something that's parallel. They run themselves separately. So with that being said, parallel co-parenting is exactly that. It's almost like the student or child may live with the mom or the father, and whatever rules that the mom allows at her home, the child follows when he or she is there at that parent's home. And then when the child transitions, whether it's for the weekend or if it's a 6 months on, 6 months on sort of thing, when the child transitions to the other parent's house, there may be a totally different set of rules that that child follows when they're at that house. So if the child had a 12 o'clock midnight curfew at one parent's house, the other parent may not honor that curfew, and it may be 10 o'clock at the other parent's house. So that's an example of co-parenting, parallel co-parenting, I should say. So a lot of times the parents don't really discuss too many things as far as rules are concerned with one another, because they're not concerned with the way the other one governs his or her house. So again, that's parallel co-parenting. It has its advantages, you know. You do what you do, I do what I do. But the parents, they don't really necessarily like each other a lot of times, but they just exist to make, you know, things happen for the child. And lastly, last but not least, what we're going to talk about is another type of co-parenting, which is called cooperative and collaborative parenting. So bang, co-parenting, I should say. So you heard what it's entitled, cooperative, collaborative. So obviously, when two people are cooperating, they're working together to make things happen for the common good, whatever the goal is. They work together hands-on. Collaboration also deals with working together, bouncing ideas off of one another. Also with cooperation, there's a friendly aspect to the conversation and to the relationship. Collaboration, which means that there's talking, bouncing ideas off one another, and just, again, making sure that things are happening in the best interest of the kid. A lot of talking, a lot of sharing, ideas and opinions going on. So this is actually the most ideal type of parenting, co-parenting, because, like I said, all of those things I just mentioned about what this type of parenting entails is obviously beneficial to everybody involved. The kids involved, the parents are involved, and they're making things happen in the best interest of the kids. A lot of times, even with that, the finances are involved. You're talking about ways to be better, helping things go the right way for hopefully the best interest of your child, the children. And also what I'll say about this type of parenting is that it seems with this one, like I said, it's the most ideal. And the good thing about it is everybody's on the same page. Like I said, people are working together and everybody's real, real rational. Not a lot of high energy, negative energy that often is in place when kids are involved. So again, this is what we're going to strive for. Hopefully people who are co-parenting, hopefully they're rocking with the cooperative and collaborative co-parenting. Like I said, again, most ideal for the child. And so that's it. So we got those three definitions out the way. As everybody knows, I'd like to put the definition out there and we're going to talk about it and live by it on the show today. So all right, that's what we're going to do. We're actually going to have a guest on the show in a minute. You know how we like to do. We're going to bring him in. It's another dude. We've had him on the show before, so we're going to chop it up with him. But before we bring him out, you know, I'm just going to speak on my experience with co-parenting or growing up in a co-parenting situation, because I don't have any children myself. So I really don't have too much, because my father was fairly absent, really absent at times. So I didn't really get to see too much interaction between my parents. I was real young, so I don't exactly know what I would say that they did. If you would almost say absent father co-parenting, maybe that's what it might be called. So either way, don't have a lot of insight from that end. But again, like I said, we're going to bring somebody on the show who's actually currently co-parenting and just going to give us some insight, some things to look out for. And, you know, I'll chime in what I know, because like I said, did see a little bit and I know, you know, what I know. So we're going to talk about it. Like I said, we're going to take a break, be back in a minute with the guest. So return with us. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. See you in a second. All right, everybody, we back from break. As promised, we're here. As I said before, we got a guest on the show today. We've had the gentleman on the show before. He's a friend of the show. He's dropped some science on us before. We got Steve back. He's here. And we're going to talk about some co-parenting with him and some things that he's seen, experienced, what he's done to cope with him, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know how we do on the show. So, Steve, shout out to people out, man. We here.
Hey man, what's up, people? What's up, people, man? It's always good to be back on this show right here, Hodge, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey man, you know what? I appreciate it as well, man. You being here donating your time to help us get through this thing and help us be better people day to day and help us level up like we talk about on the show. So we're going to get right to it, people. Like I said, we got Steve here. So Steve, we've heard pieces of your story throughout your time on the show, but tell us, we know you have a child, or if they forgot, somebody just listening for the first time, tell us you have a son, daughter, you know, get us up to speed on what you got going on as far as your parenting situation.
Yes, man, I have a daughter, man, and just a little speed up, man, had her real young. I was 14 going on 15. Now I'm 32 years old. She is 17 years old, about to graduate from high school.
All right. So bang, you had a at a young age, as like I said, I knew that because we've heard it before. So bang, if we just, I guess maybe a scale of 10 before we get into a specific scale of 1 to 10, what would you say the overall experience with parenting has been for you?
Overall, man, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's been a difficulty of, I'm going to say like an 8. And not that it had to be an 8. It's all about the co-parenting.
Right. So bang, I just want to be clear for everybody out there. So you're saying on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest, you're saying it's been an 8. Far as, so that's fairly difficult is what you're saying.
Very.
All right,
very.
Cool. So we got that. So, and I'm glad you mentioned the co-parenting. Obviously, that's the name of the show for today. So bang. So let's just, before we get to that, then let's just talk about you and your daughter. How has your situation, just parenting itself, been with you and your daughter specifically?
As far as me and my daughter, man, it's been great. The relationship and the bonding has been one of the best things I ever wished for.
All right, so cool. So bang, that's love right there. So it's definitely two different ends of the spectrum, man, because you said as far as parenting is concerned with just your relationship with your daughter, you just said it's been one of the best things you've ever done. But then you said the co-parenting side has been extremely difficult. So real interesting to think about the two things, how one aspect of parenting could be so good and then one aspect of parenting could be so bad. So we're going to get into that, man. So, let's just talk, man. You said something about the co-parent can make it difficult. Talk to me, man. What is one thing, if you have more than one, we'll get to it, but what's one thing that in your situation has been done to make your experience with co-parenting more difficult?
Poverty. Poverty mindset has made this thing so difficult.
All right. So, you know, we deal with definitions on this show. So before you get into that, what is poverty? What is poverty mindset? Put us on, man.
Poverty mindset to me is growing up in a household that's already struggling. Maybe a parent missing, whether it's the mother missing or the father missing. They're not in a household. Drugs may be in a household. Abuse may be in a house. Kids getting molested may be in a house surrounded by gangs every day, killings every day. That's that poverty type mindset.
All right. So that's one thing that you're saying, well, I'm sure that makes sense. It's adversarial to the parenting experience. All right. So who's in control of that? Is that just being a product of the environment?
Depending on the age. At my age, I was a product of the environment, yes.
Gotcha, gotcha.
For me having it so young, I was a product of the environment.
Gotcha. All right, so that's good, Biz. So you said you were a product of the poverty mindset as far as the environment, circumstance, all that good stuff, the people in the neighborhood, whatever we're talking about. So let me ask you this. Sounds like you're doing well for yourself these days, you know, from our talks and just seeing you and your come up. So with that being said, how did you escape the poverty mindset since you were so entranced in it?
Man, listen, I think I escaped it because of, I call it having an angel on every corner. That's what I can really say growing up. I was into sports. Okay. I did play sports, but I had that coach. I had that little bit of light always that kind of like would tell me to go the other way. And I actually listened. You know, that's the part right there. Like, I may not understood, but I had a certain level of respect to listen to the couple of folks that I had along the way to really take their advice that kind of saved my life.
Word. So, Dick, that's love. So, you said an angel on every corner, man. I never heard that term before. That's a good term. And everybody, I agree, you do need good people in your life to turn it around. So, Dig, I'm going to give you like 5 seconds, man. Shout whoever these people, two people, just whenever you're talking about time frame, two people that were your angel in the corner, man. They need to be spoke about.
And that's outside of you?
Outside of me, yeah. Let's talk.
Okay, man. Look, Coach Ford, he was definitely one. And Miss Adams, man, she was definitely another one, man, that kind of like still to this day, I could call either one of those. One of them is still in the school district at Northeast, and she helped me out like no other. She watched my daughter still to this day. If anything happened, listen, my daughter don't even know where she'll come from. She'll be that angel on the corner.
All right, that's what it is. So, bang. So now we're going to flip it to your daughter, man. So your daughter's situation where she lives, would you consider that poverty mindset? Talk to me about that.
Very much so. Very poverty mindset, poverty driven. And ran by the system for so many years that they actually really believe what's taking place and how they are is right.
Right.
And it really puts my daughter in a conflicted mindset, because then she comes with me and see something totally different. So she's confused.
Right.
She's not really knowing, like, okay, Dad, yo, you show me this and I see this, but over here, certain things is okay. And with you, it's not.
Right. Right. So now when you say, is that a thing of the environment is saying that certain things are not right when she's with, let's say, the other parent, and with you, she's certain things are right? Or is it more so what's being taught to her is right? Far as from her parents. So like, let's say your baby mom, is your baby mom telling her certain things are right when she's with her? And then when she gets with you, it's kind of like a culture shock, totally different, that you're spitting different facts? Or is it the two different environments? Far as where you live, there's certain norms of society that are going on. And then when she's in the parent, wherever she lives with her parents at, her mom at, they have different norms over there. So which one is it? Is it both? Is it environment to norms and parental norms?
Oh, it's definitely both. When you're in an environment, you're surrounded by nothing but killing, sex, and fighting. That's one environment by itself.
Right.
And then when you come with me and you see totally opposite of those, you see more nice cars, you see bigger houses, you see you don't have to pay for your meal when you go out to eat, or say to your father, like, hey, I'm going to pay you back the money that you gave me. Those type of things. It's totally different. It's almost like a culture shock.
Yeah. I understand. Definitely, man. And it's funny, man, that that's actually what we're going to get to. We're going to get to that, man. We actually can take a break, man. We're going to talk about this sort of difference when we come back from the break. And we're going to just let you talk some more, man, and see how your daughter overcame it. We're going to go some more. So, Dig, we're going to take a break. Like I said, y'all, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We got Steve on the show, and we're going to be back in a minute. Hold it down. All right, good people, we back one more time from that break. We still got Steve on the show. We still talking about co-parenting, problems with it, the benefits of it. We got it all. We got it all going. We're going to talk about it all. So listen, before we took the break, I was asking Steve just about, he was talking about differences between where he lives and norms in the neighborhood versus where his daughter lives, all sorts of things like that. So then we're gonna get a little bit more specific. So, Steve, there's something called parallel co-parenting, right? So peep this. This right here, the word parallel, think about parallel. Parallel lines do not intersect. Everybody knows that, right? So parallel co-parenting is basically when your daughter is at your crib, she's at your home, she has a certain set of rules and norms that are just basically at your spot. So they don't bleed over to when she's with her mom. So at a mom's house, she has a totally different, it may not be totally different, but it's just their rules. So whatever rules she has at a mom's house, totally different from yours. The two whatever rules you have, and whatever rules are over there, over there. You guys don't speak on what rules she has to follow, but your spot is just, that's just what it is. So with that being said, so again, parallel co-parenting again is when she's at your spot, she has rules, and at a mom's spot, she got rules over there. So do you know of any rules that you two have that is different from one another?
Yes, man, definitely. And it's very confusing on the child itself, man, for my daughter. Dress code and nails and hairstyles is totally different in when it comes to the parallel co-parenting.
All right, well, talk to us about that. Where are they different with you? Why are they different? You know, just get us the whole scope of it.
All right, so what's so different is that with my child's mother, she's able to wear a dress that's a little that's shorter, lip gloss. It looks like she's in an identity crisis, trying to figure out half shirts, you know, and the crazy looking nails. Her mother, like, it doesn't matter. You can get the same kind of nails I got with the diamonds on it and everything. Me, I'm more of, you're a young lady. Make sure you always have class about yourself, and you don't have to show your body to get respected. Right. And her understanding that, her mother tell her, yo, you know who you are. Long as you're comfortable with yourself, you can do it. But I know that society and men and people don't look at that way. So the making sure that she understand the difference between the two of when you go out, you wondering why these people don't respect you is because how you carry yourself.
Right.
So that's been one of the biggest things of me seeing that she now knows that for a while she was doing it because I don't want dad to chop my head off.
Mm-hmm.
Now she getting to a point of maturity to know that, oh, if you look like this and carry yourself like this, if you find we're getting treated a certain way, which is going to be lower than the standard that she really thought she was, then if you fine with that, then you go right ahead. But the way I raised my daughter and say, yo, you're a queen and you need to get treated like one. And the way you carry yourself is determined by you.
Word. And I like that, man, because it's one thing to be a queen or a king, for that matter, inside. But if you feel like you're a king or queen inside, but your exterior doesn't really line up with the two, that's confusion in and of itself. So the two need to be on point, man. So if you're of a certain standard, then you should carry yourself of that standard, and you wouldn't do anything lower than that. So that's good, man. I like that.
Very much so, man. And just to add on to it, man, how just the way you got to deliver that message as a man to your daughter too, because or even a mother in some cases, because they go look at you, you just mom and you just dad. You're gonna say this and you're gonna say that.
Right.
But I had to get her to understand who you think love you and get a life for you more, the first person. And she said, you, dad. I said, so I really need you to listen to what I'm about to say to you. So don't get it twisted. She have tried me with the short skirt before and a half shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But when she sit in that car, I had the real conversation on, this is what I see when I look at you. Do you want your father, the one that you got so much respect for, looking at you like you're a little tramp? Like, yeah. Do you want me looking at you that way? Did she like it? No, why? If one may say, yo, why you say that to your child? Listen, I want to be the first and always wanted to be the first to tell her about herself before she step out these doors, and it's nothing I can do.
Right, right. You want that message to be in her head, carrying her and guiding her, even when she's not under your protection. That's right. Cool. So what else? All right, so we're still talking about parallel co-parenting. So you said the dress attire, obviously, there's a difference right there. What about curfew? Anything curfew, party she's allowed to go to, anything like that?
Yeah, with me, it's a little bit different because I'm more of the one that I want to meet the parents. I want to see the environment that she's in. On the other side, hey, she's to her age. Yo, they just going to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that one to just go over there. And I'm not dropping her off anywhere and not having shook a parent hand. And I don't know the environment. I don't know if it's smoking or drinking going on. Because if anything seems suspect in the environment, I'm removing it.
Yeah.
So, and it's important, like, you may be like, hey, she's getting older, she is, but she's not, she's still not to the age of maturity to know how to go in the environment fully and look at it and remove herself, because she still want to be with her friends and want to be cool.
Right.
No, as a parent, man, we gotta make sure we protect them for them from themselves, too.
Right. So, bang, I'm glad you led me right into my next question. So, one thing, how does your daughter handle that? And two... answer that one first. You got it. How did your daughter handle that?
At first, it was hard for her. But when she started seeing her friends around her getting pregnant, honestly getting STDs, end up in situations where they think they're pregnant, and it's happening younger and younger. So if you at this point in this generation of time, if you got a 14-year-old and you ain't really having those conversations yet, you already late.
Gotcha.
Because social media is taking over, and you can't be one of those parents that be like, oh, my child wouldn't do this, my child wouldn't do that. You are naive, and they about to get you. Your heart gonna be so broken. You will have a kid out here that got a kid if you don't watch it like you need to. So having those conversations up front, it was hard. But once she seen it, caught on to that daddy wasn't budging, and she see her friends going through so much, now she understands.
All right. And you kind of ahead of me, man, and I appreciate it, because I was going to ask you, because this is what we do on this show. We talking about a problem. We talking about problems. We always talk about solutions. So I was going to ask, how would you help a parent who, or parents in a co-parenting situation where they have a kid over there and they live in a certain way over there and a kid with you live in a certain way? What advice do you have for a parent who's going through that? Something, because you're going through it. So what advice do you give to parents out there who are listening that helped you with your situation with your daughter?
The advice I give you, Keith, don't be so on the defense side when somebody says something about your child. You know, because you blinded by your love. And my daughter, she's the same way. I didn't think that my daughter acts so sweet around me, Hodge, and all of this. One day I got a phone, and I can hear it. I talk to a friend. Oh, you back, friend? Yes, B. Yes, B. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my daughter? Mm-hmm. I didn't know she talked like this.
Yeah.
You know, but when she ain't around me, she's acting and saying stuff that she never would say around me. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Oh my, the perfect little princess.
Right.
You know, so don't be so naive to think that your parenting is so good that your kid ain't gonna get messed up out here. You messing up by thinking that.
All right, cool. So we heard it there, right? People, take some advice. Don't think that your child and your parenting is so effective that it won't be affected by things outside. And we're going to take a break from there. Yo, we're going to come back. We're going to talk some more with Steve. We're going to keep this thing going. All right, this is Level Up. Ryan Hodge. I thank everybody for turning with us from that break. So we still here. We got Steve on the line, and we're gonna get right back into this. We're gonna get right back into it, y'all. So Steve, before the break, we were talking about, you know, the different types of parenting, parallel co-parenting, where you got a different set of rules at your spot versus what your daughter has at her mom's place. So we know how you handle it. We know how your daughter feels about it. So the difference in the rules between your place and your daughter's mom's spot. How does your daughter's mother feel about the things that you do differently? Is she on board with you? How does that go?
Totally opposite. She's not on board. And this is a complete transparent I could be right here, man. To the point where I don't really know how. Is she not on board because she genuinely feels that, hey, what I'm saying is wrong? Or she dislike me so much that it don't matter if I say the sky is blue, she's going to say it's purple. So I really don't know what goes in her mind. It was her mindset about it, but it's never right. I'm never right about it.
Gotcha. So, all right, bang. So that leads me to a different type of conflict. So And this is the one to stay away from everybody. It's something I said this in the opening anyway. So anyway, there's something called high conflict co-parenting. Obviously, the name conflict, we know what that is. It's combative, combustion, you know, argumentative, you know, disagreeance, all that good stuff. So in high, of course, we know that's a rapid rate. So what we're talking about in this type of parenting is when the parents don't get along. Like you said, no matter what is said from one parent, the other parent is going to disagree, potentially for the sake of disagreeing, because that's just what the nature of the game is. Anything that happens negative is the other person's fault. A lot of verbal disagreements, you know, potentially physical, you know, might even have cops being called. So is it that sort of thing? Is it something, what I just explained, is that the type of situation with your...
Yes, it would be if I actually allowed it.
Okay, great.
I know how to limit myself to the conversation, because my daughter is to age now that I don't have to entertain that many conversations with my child's mother. And when the thing that gets, but the crazy thing is, being that me and my daughter have such a tight bond, she acts so much like me and has my mentality, because we spend a lot more time together than her and her mother.
Mm-hmm.
It makes her look at my daughter like, yo, you just think your dad is the best dad in the world. But little do she know, I have conversations with my daughter on how imperfect that I really am.
Right.
You know, so it's one of those that where she even don't like the fact that me and my daughter has a great relationship, which makes me and her co-parenting even more difficult, because now I'm still telling my daughter, don't disrespect your mother. That's still your mom. You better respect her. But my daughter, in defense of me, but she says this, she says that, she says this. So I don't want her to grow up with hatred and not really knowing how co-parenting really supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still no help, because now it's to a point now where, I hope I ain't saying too much, it get to a point where she's going to dislike or could possibly dislike a parent because of how they talking about the other parent.
Right. Absolutely. I think that sort of thing happens all the time, man, especially at a young age. You know, kids don't necessarily see right or wrong immediately. And a lot of times they just have the opinion of whatever parent they may like the most or the one they spend the most time with. And if they hear enough negativity about that parent, it becomes their reality and it may not be the truth. So again, that definitely sounds like high conflict, because I'm imagining you guys don't get along on a lot of things. So I know you said, you know, you limit your conversations, but what is that a strategy for someone who's in that situation? Limit conversations with the other parent?
Yes. I say it's especially when they're young, it's the hey, how you doing, and keep it strictly about the child. No matter what she say out her mouth, I got, as the male especially, you got to keep it strictly about the child, because at the end of the day, you got to know, if she get pissed off, if she gets very upset, she cannot allow, she can just be like, I don't want your child to go with you.
Yeah.
And it's nothing as a male you can do if they get to that point. So I had to get very, very good at controlling my emotions. Yeah. And it's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair, but when it comes to me having my child and bonding and spending time with my child, mm-hmm. what she said out of her mouth, it didn't matter.
Right.
And it take a lot to be to that point. I promise you, it took some time.
That's right. So hey, I mean, we talk on this show a lot of times about controlling your emotions. I remember one of my initial shows, maybe my second show, I spoke about a guy who was in Dunkin' Donuts and a customer said something that he called him the N-word. Long story short, the black dude ended up killing him. So,
right.
And the main reason I mentioned this point is because you mentioned about controlling your emotions. So if that kid, the dude at the Dunkin' Donuts had controlled his emotions, he wouldn't have been locked up for murder or manslaughter. So either way, I'm just relating it back to, you know, different themes that all come to be the same thing. Yo, controlling your emotions in every aspect of life is going to put you in a better spot or keep you from being in a worse spot. So everybody out there, don't be so drawn into the negativity of the other parent, because sometimes that person, the other parent, may just be in a negative place, him or herself, and just wants to draw you in that same negative spot with them. So it may be a tactic to get you where they are. So even from that standpoint, just try to stay away. That's a good tactic, man. It's a good strategy. Control your emotions when dealing with the baby moms, baby dad, whatever you want to go, the mother, your child, father, your child. Good. Anything else? You got another piece for us?
Yes. It could get complicated, man, in that time. And I'm going to share just one. If you want me to share that now, and I can, how do you want me to do that now?
Yeah, let's do it. What you got?
So this is how difficult it can be. And just to give an example of a certain, and it's most recent. And of course, I would never say my child's mother name on this call.
Right.
My daughter is going off to college, right?
Right.
For a reason, whatever reason it happened when we had her so young, my name is not on the birth certificate.
Okay.
So going to college with me being in the military, it was like she got access to certain benefits. So I make a call and say, hey, I need to make sure, hey, she got these military benefits going off to college. So we need to go to this building because it's free. We can do this with no problem. One thing you got to do is show up in here, say, hey, look, I'm already, guess what? Certain benefits and everything or child support and stuff was already coming out of my military check, everything.
Mm-hmm.
The response was, I tried years ago when we were younger, and I think she did, can't remember, but she was like, you want to be a father now, so no, I'm not going. At the end of the day, this is not hurting me as much as it's hurting our child.
Right.
But she can't get past the hurt or the problems that she has with me just to show up in the building.
All right, so I'm going to say this back, and I know this is just going to be to reiterate it to make sure I heard it correctly and anybody listening. You're saying that your daughter has potential access to your military benefits.
Right.
And, okay, for whatever reason, young age, your name is not on the birth certificate, and you need your baby mom to take you to some office to get your name on the birth certificate.
Right.
And from that point forward, your daughter will get access to your military benefits.
Yes.
And you're saying that your baby mom won't go down to the office to get that done.
She would not.
I thought I heard that right. And it doesn't matter what happened years ago as far as whatever beef you had, whatever caused you two to fall out over the years, whatever. One thing I can say, I spoke before you came on the air. I didn't really get to see too much co-parenting between my mom and my pop because he was absent for pretty much 99% of it. So I didn't have anything that I lived through to be able to, you know, impart any wisdom on the show for the people today. But I can just say from a what makes sense standpoint, because on this show we talk about practical advice for everyday people. I'm everyday people. So we all should notice, everybody, if you're in a co-parenting situation, it's always about the kids, man. Make whatever decisions you make based on the best interest of the kid. All those feelings, rancor you have for the baby mom, the baby daddy, that's irrelevant. Everything is supposed to be to focus on the well-being of the kid and what's best for them. So that's my piece. I'm going to throw some more out there. But man, that's tough. So how are you handling that? And this could be for anybody else who's being denied a chance to further their child. How are you handling that right now?
It's tough because it's the dealing. You got to know, like you said, manage the emotions. So I never stop. You don't have to stop worrying when you are the father or that is your child. Even as a male, I recommend learn your rights as a male. Go to these different organizations and learn certain things about how to be a better father. And it's certain laws and regulations that's in place for you as a father. But the thing is, we got to go digging and learn them. And that's what I did. So it is ways I could go to the court and I could do it myself. Of course, it's going to cost some money. And that's fine because, hey, listen, I work hard to make sure that things with my daughter is good. So it's still going to get done. It's just going to be a longer and more difficult process.
Right. Hey, like I said a second ago, this definitely sounds like high conflict because that, like I said, that type of parenting is always something. Even the things that seems like they should be simple, for some reason, with a high conflict co-parenting situation, they never seem to be simple. Like you said a minute ago, the sky is blue and somebody's going to tell you that the sky is orange just to oppose you and make things harder for you, even though it's going to make things harder for the child. Tough situation, man. Tough. So, yeah, man. Sorry that it got to be tough like that. But since we on this topic, we on high conflict parenting, I'm sure since it seems like this is the category of parenting that you're in, you got anything else? Any other negative situations? And we're not trying to harp on the negativity, people. Remember on the show, we talk about problems and then we air out solutions. So, bang. With that being said, Steve, you got another negative situation that you've been in with your baby mom situation, and then on the backslide, give us some advice on how to better come out of that.
Yes, dating. What type of young male that, or the age, what age you want your daughter to start dating? And I think it goes to the age of maturity for it varies per child. My daughter, being that she grew up in certain environments, I knew she wasn't even ready at that particular point to be dating because she was trying to learn herself. And as a parent, you got to be the judge of when you allow your child to start dating. Don't be like, oh, because I dated at 15, so your child needs to start dating at 15. They may not be ready to date at 15.
Right.
So you can't force that on them. So in the level of judgment on what kind of guy. You know, on my end, it was like, hey, I need a guy to come to me with respect, hands up, shake my hand if it came time to it.
Right.
Other approval at the time was a young male. Hey, you got to ask those questions. A young male that got kicked out of school that I knew and that we all knew that was sexually active. And he smoked drugs.
Right.
So my child's mother approved of them being friends. That's not even someone I will approve of my daughter being friends with.
Right.
You know, so if you tell her it's okay to be friends, you're allowing a relationship to develop.
That's right. Of course.
Which is going to end up bad for the child.
That's definitely.
So
I'm with that.
So dad comes along and be like, no, 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 no. Now what's going to happen is I'm not going to tell dad I'm going to do it anyway because mommy is fine with it. Because keep in mind, the child knows mom and dad really don't talk.
That's right.
So what I do with mom, I know there's no way dad is going to find out unless something bad happens.
That's right.
Then daddy is the first call. And that's what happened. Dad ended up being the first call when something bad happened in a particular situation. Now my daughter had to learn the hard way rather than me and the mother being able to co-parent and make sure that this didn't happen.
Right. So, bang, man. So, we're talking about a benefit or a detriment. We're talking about a detriment of the parents in this high-conflict situation, everybody. You're talking about kids play angles. So, you got a parent thinking one way on a certain subject, different parent thinking a different way, and the child knows that the parents don't really talk like that. So, they find ways to get into the scene. So again, we're talking about the best interest of the kid here. Yo, listen, everybody out there needs to, at least if you can for your child, come together and at least be able to get on one accord so that way we can keep the kid from playing both sides and getting what they want because they know that the parents aren't talking like that. So, bang, how do you handle a situation like that? For anybody who's out there, what do you do? Or what did you do?
Got to put it aside. In a hostile situation, it's nothing you can do to change the mindset of the other parent. I'm just going to let you know now. If you're working with an immature parent, you got to sit here and be throwing, like, it's like talking to a brick wall.
Right.
That's just the reality to it. If your child is to that age, you got to make sure that you always have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Always have conversations. Put them in better environments. Show them, and it's the craziest thing, show them what a nice young male look like. You gotta be that first, be the example, and then show them. You know, so in that, you gotta be plugged in. You gotta show up to games. You may have to show up more to certain things because now you gotta protect your child.
Yeah.
So the game that I didn't want to go to, guess what I had to go do? I had to go to the game. I
had to pull up.
Because now I gotta watch what she's surrounded by because I know there's no co-parenting taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do certain measures like, hey, I'm going to take y'all. I had to, guess what? I had to sugar it up, though. I had to, listen, right after the game, I'm going to take you and your friends out to eat. It was to protect her. It wasn't, I didn't care about the game or her friends.
Right.
I had to do certain things to protect her. But I had to make it fun into her life.
Yeah. So it sounds like, even just to throw this out there for everybody who's listening, it sounds like when you have especially we're talking about high conflict co-parenting situation, it sounds like one of the parents, or we're talking about you in this specific case, it sounds like you need to be extra vigilant when it comes to items and things pertaining to your daughter, because you can't rely on her mom to make things happen and keep things on point while you're not around. You got to do almost like her job too.
Right.
Hey, man. Keep doing the work you're doing, man. We appreciate it, because we need our young brothers and sisters on the right path. But listen, we could take a break, man. If you got something else you want to spit before the break, we could do that. But if not, we're going to take a break, y'all. And we're going to come back and we're going to politic some more with Steve on this co-parenting situation. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Be back in a quick sec. Once again, it's on, people. We back again. We still got Steve on the show, and we're going to just keep this thing going, man. So we're just throwing tips out there, different scenarios for the kids and co-parenting situations that, you know, that to look out for, things to stay away from, that sort of thing. So we're going to keep this thing going, man. So Steve, you've been doing a co-parenting situation for, I guess you said your daughter 17?
Yes.
So for 17 years, you've been on a co-parenting trail. So I'm sure there's still a lot to learn, and, you know, mistakes will be made. So either way, though, so to some females who are listening, we're going to get from your perspective to some females that may be listening. What are some tips that you have for females when they're in a co-parenting situation?
Just keep an open mind outside of your emotions. I know it's difficult for you as a parent as well as a father. But even when it comes to the co-parenting side, I really recommend look outside of your personal feelings. I think that's been one of the biggest downfalls and the hatred. And I do respect the ones that give the fathers a try, but I promise you that one visit from that dad, it does a lot for that child. And on some ends, it is your job as well to protect your child, because you don't want an inconsistent relationship when a dad come today and then he gone tomorrow. So at a point, you do have to try to co-parent, but if it ain't working, you handle it in a mature way. That way, when a child don't receive most of the blow.
Yeah. So shield the kid from a lot of the emotional strain that comes along with it, if you can.
You got to take it off.
Yeah. I think I'm going to throw something out there, because it's something that I never heard my mom do. So like I said, in the opening and all that good stuff, and over the course of this show, this podcast, you know, my pops was pretty absent. Like I said, about 99% absent. He disappeared. He was gone. So, but with that being said, man, I never heard my mom say a negative word about my father. I'm talking about never once. We never sat in the crib and my mom is like, oh, your father this, your father that. This was, again, like I said, he was absent on the front end. And then at one point, he just disappeared completely. So at no point when he was kind of sporadic, I would say, when he was sporadically coming around, she didn't bash him. And then when he disappeared for the rest of my life, or the rest of his life, because he's dead now. But when he disappeared, my mom never once said a bad word about him. So with that being said, that's a piece of advice. Like I said, I don't have any kids myself, but with that being said, I would give that to any female, and even a dude for that matter. No, there's no need to trash the other parent. What he or she does or doesn't do, it's apparent. They just didn't do it, or they're doing it. So you don't even need to bring light to somebody being a POS and they're no good. Nah, that negativity is going to ultimately affect the kid negatively. So one thing my mom taught me, almost by a byproduct of not saying anything negative about my dad, it was really just about how to handle your relationships anyway. If the relationship is over, a person doesn't care to be here or be there for you hey, just treat it as such. They're not here. Let them not be there, and that'll just be that. So that's one piece I got for that. Just, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it just felt like a good time to jump in.
Oh, no, 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 definitely. That's on point right there, bro. And that's on point because at a young age, like I said, my daughter, I thought some of the stuff I was doing, I didn't think it meant anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really, really did. Guess what? Even for my child's mother, I didn't think some of the things she was doing, it really meant anything because I thought I was so strong in her ear that she wasn't affected by some of that stuff. And she really, really was. But it's just luckily that she took after having a respect for me that she, no matter what I did, that time where I could only afford to go get that 99-cent ice cream, mm-hmm. it meant the world to my daughter. She never forgot.
Yeah.
So it's just like she started understanding at a point where, oh, your dad ain't here, your dad ain't here. It became confusing because she like, he was at the pageant, the father-daughter dance, and popping up to the schools. It was just like, at what point he wasn't here?
Right.
The child does not, I say this all the time, it ain't about the money when it comes to a child. It's about the time. Mm-hmm. So making sure you put the time and having those conversations with the child, I promise you, especially for us men, it means the world to the child. And they wonder, you see mothers get so mad that a dad could come in a room and say it one time and they with the mother every single day. Mm-hmm. And their child, and they got to keep repeating themselves because the power of their man in the environment, it changes everything. It makes them, it increases the chance of them graduating from high school. It decreases the chances of them getting pregnant at a young age. It keeps young males out of jail. It keeps mm-hmm. them away from gangs. It's so powerful to have that man around because naturally, women are nurturers. Mm-hmm. Men bring a lot of discipline. So some of the things that women miss out on men, you just know they go miss it.
Right.
You
right.
know that age of having a young male or that young female, man, listen, the mother will let the child sleep with them until the child 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. But the male is going to be like, no, put that child in their own bed.
Right.
So it's those little small things like that that change everything.
All right. So bang. So listen, we're going to keep this thing going, man. We're talking. And another thing, just to go along with what we're talking about, and we're going to do a little different. You're going to be on the show till I close it out today, man. That's how we're going to rock it, man. So bang, because we got a few more minutes before we get out of here. But one thing I want to say, man, and this is not a lot. I don't hear a lot of this between baby moms, baby dads. Listen, it might not be a bad idea for each parent, even if it's separately, to take a parenting class. Know what I'm saying? Go somewhere just to learn some strategies. And then even if they come to a point where the two parents can work together, maybe they go to the class together. Because one thing that happens is people tend to feel like what they do is right, the other person, what they do is wrong, and vice versa. So if you have an outside party listening to these conversations and, you know, being able to analyze everything from an objective standpoint, maybe we could come to a better understanding anyway. So that's just some more advice we've just given on the show, yo. So fathers, be there. Don't be deterred by a bitter baby mom trying to keep you out of the kid's life, because essentially what Steve just said is that you being there, you can save your kid's life, whether it be literally or it could be keeping the kid out of jail or pregnant at an early age. So nah, you're definitely necessary. You need to be there. What you think about that, Steve?
Definitely need to be there, 100%.
All right, Steve. Yo, listen, before you go, man, I want you to tell us, man, one last piece of advice you want to leave us with, something to close us out with, or two, whatever you got, man. Close us out with something, yo.
Man, the thing I want to close out with, man, listen, just make the right decision. Mm-hmm. Be very careful on who you have a child with, man, because the level of maturity out there is so off when it comes to men and when it comes to women. But at the end of the day, we got to make sure that our kids do not suffer because of our decisions.
Right.
And that's why it's so important not to make sure our kids not having kids at a young age, because a lot of that stuff could have been prevented just by having a household with two parents or great co-parenting. That's it. Because when one parent ain't there, the other one could be. I'm just looking at if my father was there some of the times that my mother couldn't be, mm-hmm. you know how much that would have saved me from?
Yeah.
But men sometimes think just being able to pay child support and drop off some gifts on holidays is enough. that ain't enough.
That's right.
Women got this mindset of developing this mindset. I don't need no man to do it all. I can do it all by myself. That's a lie. You need the male. You need the female. It's going to take both of y'all. So any advice, man, yo, put aside those differences because it don't mean nothing. And it don't equate to anything that the battles that kid is going to face, they're going to be both of y'all.
Bang. There it is. We heard it from him right here, y'all. Put those differences aside and, you know, do what you got to do to make the best thing happen for the kid, yo. We're going to close this thing out, yo. I'm gonna do it right here. Steve, we appreciate you, man. Listen, Hindsight Media Radio, you made this happen again. We thank you. Anybody listening, we got Steve on the show. He held us down one more time. Listen, hit that website, RyanHodgeBooks.com. Check me out. 9 novels. We got all of my podcasts are up there. If you missed it, you know what I'm saying? Check it out on the website. And we're going to close it out right there. Steve, shout them out before you go, man. We just going to do it right here, man. We getting out of here.
Man, shout out to y'all, man. Y'all make sure y'all have y'all a good day, a good night, man. Many blessings coming your way. Hey, stay up. Just get out there. Make money. Make every day good to you. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, man, we appreciate you, everybody. Yo, this has been another dope episode of Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Until next time, later.